The long-running judicial inquiry into claims that members of the Australian Defence Force committed war crimes in Afghanistan has entered its final stages, with findings due to be handed down within months. In a report to Parliament this week, the Inspector General of the ADF revealed that at least 55 separate incidents are being investigated. Most involve the alleged killing of unarmed civilians and prisoners. This inquiry was sparked by a 2016 report by sociologist Samantha Krumfitz, who was commissioned to examine cultural issues within the Special Forces and other ADF units. While that initial report was leaked to the media, Dr. Samantha Krumfitz has not spoken publicly until now. She joins us from our Canberra studio. Samantha, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Thanks, Fran.
Your report back in 2016 sparked this current inquiry. This week we learned that 55 separate incidents are being investigated by the inquiry. Does that number surprise you?
It certainly doesn't surprise me. I think what's interesting in the IGADF report is, as you said, that the majority of those incidents are to do with killings of persons who were non-combatants or were no longer combatants. And also that the focus of those incidents is on decisions made or not made during the heat of the battle or the fog of war has been cited before.
So why does that strike you, that finding that the decisions they're investigating were not made in the heat of the battle?
Because I think that's been used for some time as rationale for why alleged incidents may or may not have happened. And I think really what we're talking about is a fog of culture rather than a fog of war.
Okay, before we get to that, the cultural issues, and that's very much what you went to in your report that sparked all this, just for people listening, a sense that the 55 separate incidents seems a lot if they're certainly not made in the heat of battle. What kind of incidents are we talking? What matters are we referring to exactly? Can you give us a sense of that? I don't mean go through every one, but...
So while I'm aware of the likely nature of some of these, I've certainly not seen any of the details of what the 55 incidents might be. So I can't really comment about the specifics.
Okay. There's been the Inspector General also defended the length of time this is taking. It's been years this has been going on, talking about a difficult process to get people to trust the inquiry. Why is that, do you think? What's the issue here? Is this something particular to, for instance, the Special Forces?
Well, it is. I mean, this is an unprecedented inquiry. It's dealing with people who are highly trained to maintain operational security. And, you know, that I mean, it's not the first time that these kind of incidents have been reported in the media. There's been years and years, actually, of, you know, different stories that have emerged over time. But I think that there did need, I mean, that the inquiry has been thorough and well-resourced and, as far as I know, very measured. But it did take a long time for those witnesses to trust the authenticity of that inquiry.
And did you strike that trust issue when you were doing your report? I mean, you must have been talking to people, trying to get people to talk to you. What did you find? And this takes us, I think, to some of the findings of your report, which might refer to that fog of culture you mentioned.
So I think there was perhaps one of the barriers to people coming forward was a sense that maybe nothing would change. And I think that has been where there is a shift, that there is a very clear commitment from the ADF to want to understand what's happened, want to understand why things manifested in the first place and continued for some time, and that there is a very genuine want to change it.
Well, let's talk about how genuine that is. Tell us what you found in your report that was so disturbing it led to the Brereton inquiry.
Well, I should note that that report, whilst it was leaked, has never been publicly released. So, you know, and really I was looking at the internal culture. And I think what I can say is that what was alarming was not perhaps, you know, details of specific incidents, but a normalisation of some behaviours or values that were at odds with what I knew about where the ADF as a whole was trying to shift in terms of its culture. Mm-hmm. That was what was alarming, that the normalisation of that.
What sort of values?
Well, I mean, I think it's to do with ethics, really. Look, it's so difficult to say when the report hasn't been publicly released.
Ethics in terms of lack of accountability? Is there a sense of, I mean, let me quote you something that's not from your report. It's from the Afghan files that was leaked by the ABC a few years ago. That came from hundreds of pages of Secret Defence Force documents that were drawn up back actually from 2014. One document from 2014, for instance, refers to ingrained problems within the Special Forces and organisational culture, including a warrior culture and a willingness by officers to turn a blind eye to poor behaviour. Does that strike a chord with what you found?
I think that, you know, what's common in any elite unit, you know, not just in Australia but internationally, or any kind of more cloistered, secret community of people, is that there is a much higher risk, a vulnerability for that organisation to veer away from more mainstream norms. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's happened here. So it's been blurred over time, and, you know, due to a combination of quite complex things to do with really high operational tempo, and I think really that the issues here, yes, it's about ethics and values, but also about power. And there are a number of questions that would be being asked during this inquiry about the chain of command and how it's operated and where it may not have operated as it should.
What would you hope and expect to change from this inquiry then? Given what you found, given what has been going on in this inquiry in the last 4 years, what would you expect? For a start, would we expect some criminal investigations? And beyond that, how would the internal response occur alongside of that?
So I would be, I would expect criminal investigations, but I would also expect that there is an obligation to be a bit more transparent about not so much what the Special Forces do, but how they're going to address some of these issues. So I don't think it's enough to just sort of say, you know, yep, we're dealing with it, and, you know, we're quite a closed community with high security issues. This is about really building trust back with the public, but also with defence more broadly, I think.
And just in terms of that, I mean, you say transparency. The SAS is not transparent. It's a very secretive unit. That's how it operates. We don't even know who are our SAS forces. And that's important, we've always been told, for their safety and their security. I mean, can you open that up and maintain the SAS as they are? I ask you this because cultural problems within Canada led that country to disband its SAS.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, in the early 90s, the Canadian Airborne Regiment was disbanded, and I believe that the minister at the time, determined that regiment was doomed, that it just couldn't continue in the way that it had been. I think what's different in this case is that the sheer number of witnesses who have come out, 338, is, I think, an indicator that there is that there has been a lot of soul searching and there is a want for change. But as secretive as SAS are, that, you know, ironically, there's many, many autobiographies that are written once they leave. There is a lot written about it. It's just how they want to present this information.
Okay. Sam, we're running into the news, so I'm going to have to stop you there. But thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks a lot.
Sociologist Samantha Cromfitz.